isn't he so sophisticated? He's so Western. He's really not that demonic. He's like us. After all, Gary, he uses email.
Right. Wow, I feel so much better now, Tom. Yeah, it's really amazing.
You know what? And it's a shame that we're laughing here.
It is.
Because it's beyond pathetic. I mean, you alluded to what this primitive enemy has. They're primitive in what they want, and they're primitive in the tools that they're using today, but they're not primitive. You're dead on. They're not primitive in what their intentions are. Their intentions are primitive. They want to take the world back to the 8th century, but they're willing and anxious to use all of our strengths against us. It's the first time in the history of the world we've got a global insurgency. You know, a lot of people claim that Islam doesn't have political sovereignty. That's nonsense. This is a political project in and of itself. In fact, yes. It's an imperial project. I mean, they want control of the world.
Yeah, I at one event in New York at a synagogue, a hostile questioner told me to stop comparing it to fascism because he said they have no state. I had to remind him that they want a state. They want a caliphate organized on the principles we see being carried out in Afghanistan when school teachers are pulled out of their classrooms and beheaded because they're teaching women, or when we see children in Iraq blown up because they're taking candy from a U.S. soldier. The dream of the Islamic fundamentalists is a caliphate run on the basis of Sharia law. And when you look at the basis as they see it, of what the Quran teaches and their interpretation of it, to me, it is completely legitimate to refer to it as Islamo-fascism. Well, Tom, I don't know how many of our listeners are aware of the fact that, yes, there are Muslims serving in the U.S. military, but they're not serving in the numbers you would expect for their proportion of the population. That's one thing that I think is interesting. The second thing that's interesting is all the quote-unquote major American Islamic groups are attacking the top TV series 24. Why? Because on 24, they're showing terrorists who are, oh my goodness, portrayed as Muslims. Where could they have gotten an idea like that? The producers and writers of 24. Well, we're going to be talking about those issues and a lot more with Zudi Sasser, the president of American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Also a former member of the United States Navy, and a guy who's saying, you know what, if Muslims in America want respect, they ought to be speaking out against Islamic radicals. You're going to want to hear this interview, folks, on World Radio WMET 1160. Bauer and Rose, we'll be right back.
Stick around.
There's more Bauer and Rose coming up right after this.
Only on WMET 1160. Insightful, well-informed, sensible. Yeah. Gary Bauer and Tom Rose. Bauer and Rose, only on WMET 1160.
Welcome back, everybody. Tom Rose, Gary Bauer with you. Why it matters to you. Right here on Bauer and Rose, 1160 WMET, the number 866-369-1160. America, a nation of immigrants, a nation of disparate, different communities coming together as one, building a new creed, a new family from all corners of the world. The agency, the institution we use to protect ourselves from threats abroad and to prevent threats abroad from ever gathering steam is the United States Armed Forces, which welcomes, encourages all of us, no matter where we come from, what we believe, to whom we pray, what diets we subject ourselves to join in the communal defense of our nation, a question increasingly being raised by big media is why, and if in fact it's even true, I'm not even sure it is true, why American Muslims are not disproportionately represented in the military. Big media, of course, takes the answer offered by, I'll coin a new phrase right here, right now, Gary, Big Islam, the established ordered organizations and institutions of Islam in the United States, let's call it Big Islam, like there's big media, who claim to speak for all Muslims, claim that there is great fear on the part of American Muslims to join the U.S. Armed Forces because they're terrified of discrimination. Well, we've got a member of the American Muslim community joining us now, Dr. Zudi Jasser, who I would guess, Dr. Jasser, it's safe to say you don't buy into the notions of quote-unquote Big Islam, do you?
No, not at all. I think that they really give the rest of the Muslim community short shrift. And it's interesting that, you know, once an organization calls itself Muslim or Islamic, we seem to then assume that they represent the faith community. And we forget that they represent only their membership. And if you look at some data about membership dues that are paid to them, at the most, they have a few thousand members. And you're talking about a community that is in the 4 to 5 million range, and a number of whom are not mosque-goers and are not active in political organizations. So we have to be very careful that if we're looking at what are the interests of America's security and also American Muslims, we have to make sure that we don't label the entire faith community as being represented by these organizations, some of whom have conflicts of interest with receiving foreign money and other issues that really don't put them in a position to represent American Muslims.
You know, you raise a really interesting point. Has anybody seen any data on what American Muslims do believe on a number of these issues? Tom and I have talked a number of times about the fact that this is sort of like the dog that doesn't bark. I mean, I see polls about Muslim attitudes in Great Britain and in Germany and other countries in Europe, but I don't think I've ever seen one that attempted to measure attitudes among Muslims in the United States and everything from Israel to democracy, their attitudes toward Jews and Christians and so forth.
I think that is you know, it's interesting as the government, for example, looks at figuring out which Muslims to talk to. We have Karen Hughes trying to talk to different organizations. You have the Bureau reaching out and others. And I keep, you know, feeling so frustrated because they keep reaching out to the people that are coming to their doorstep. And they're really treating them as if they would treat any other political lobby, which is who is coming to my doorstep and who are the vocal voices. But if you look at the Muslim community that would be in the most interest for America, it is the community that is disattached from organized Islam right now, because organized Islam is the problem. They are the Wahhabist lobby. They are the political lobby of Islamists, such as the Muslim Brotherhood and elsewise. And the ones that are those that believe in the separation of religion and politics, the ones that work full-time, have their professions, are really in the same place that Christianity was in the 16th and 17th century, which was those that were disaffected from the church, but yet in the end ended up being the solution to reformation within the Muslim community.
You know, Dr. Zudi Jasser is our guest, a physician and a contributing editor to FamilySecurityMatters.org. There's almost a secret nexus here, isn't there? A secret alliance or collaboration. The Islamic lobby groups that represent big Islam in the United States and throughout the West, for that matter, they pressure governments, in essence, to make concessions to terrorists. But in fact, they share the same means, by virtue of the fact that they're sharing the same means as the terrorists, is it not what gives these Islamic lobbying groups their credibility? I mean, if you were to form a moderate Muslim lobby, one that opposed suicide bombings, the average Western government would immediately become suspicious that you guys weren't authentically Muslim.
Exactly. And that's the issue is if we allow the radicals to determine and the Islamist lobby to determine what is a Muslim and who is not, we might as well give up the war of ideas. Because the bottom line is that we need to understand that this is not, you know, just because a Muslim says that they're against terrorism, you know, that basically gives them a seat at the table of humanity. But the issue is do they believe that the ends of the terrorists, the desire to bring back Islamic states, whether democratic or not, the desire to have this utopian ideal of a caliphate, the American organizations have done absolutely nothing to deconstruct the ideology that we're fighting. And as far as I'm concerned, as an American Muslim, until CARE and MPAC and all these so-called leaders of our community start to say that they stand against Islamic states, that they stand against the ideology of a democratic Muslim theocracy, if which they believe exists, then I really believe that we need to vet out those issues and not necessarily give them the benefit of the doubt as Americans.
Your organization, American Islamic Forum for Democracy, it's got to be a challenge for you to get the word out that you exist as an organization. I mean, given the fact that the media, I mean, if CARE, you know, burps, there's 20 cameras ready to blame it on the United States government. But I'm guessing that somebody like yourself, who's raising really important issues in all of this, probably finds it a lot harder to get the kind of media attention that these other groups that have a fairly radical agenda seem to be able to get easily.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize that enough. There's an exploitation of the naivete of the American public as far as once somebody raises the flag of faith, we stand back and we let them pretty much say what they want. But yet this is the main conflict, the ideological conflict that we're fighting. In organizations like myself, we have, on the one hand, I have a number of Muslims privately behind the scenes say, Zuhdi, we love what you're doing, keep doing it, and we'll help you behind the scenes. So I asked them to step forward, and they're fearful, and there's a number of reasons for that, but there's fear.
Secondly,
it's funding. We, you know, CARE received $50 million from Dubai, and, you know, they've got this established, what we call the $80 billion head start from Saudi Arabia over the past 20 years of the texts and dogma that's been released in the name of Islam over the past 20, 30 years to the West. And the institutions, I've found that if I'm going to get funding for organizations like ours, that focuses on the preeminence of our citizenship pledge in the U.S. Constitution, it's going to have to come from non-Muslim groups and individuals that agree that a reformed, pluralistic Islam is what's best for America.
Dr. Jasser, you're a decorated veteran. You spent 11 years in the United States Navy, retired as a lieutenant commander. You've taught and practiced at U.S. naval hospitals around the world. What would happen, what happens socially within the community of American Muslims to kids, men or women, young men or women, who want to join the U.S. Armed Forces? Is the spin of big media that there's great fear that American Muslims will be subject to great discrimination or ill treatment in the military? Is that well-founded? Is that a sense that you get? That the American Muslim community is genuinely afraid of?
You know, that is just, to me, that's just lazy reporting. You know, I saw a Reuters piece last week. It said, Muslims do not join the military because of fear, and certainly CARE then jumped on that and echoed it. And the reasons for the dearth of Muslims in the military is so multifaceted. And until we start to talk about it and understand it, we're not going to understand what separates Muslims from American nationalism, and it's multifold. One is the immigrant mentality, where Muslims come to the U.S. and they still have many family back home, and they're here not really for political reasons like my family came, but rather for economics. So they really don't bond to the ideology of America, and they've grown up in societies that were dictatorships, where their families were disaffected from the military because of coup after coup. So really, military discipline of giving back to your society through military service is not part of the familial youth that's instilled into them. Second is the media. We really think that, you know, we talk about public diplomacy as if it's a foreign problem. Public diplomacy is an internal domestic problem. Muslims in the U.S. spend most of their time watching Al Jazeera, LBC, Middle Eastern Broadcasting. They're watching Arabic-free satellite. And until we penetrate that and we try to figure out how to counter that in the Arabic Islamic language, yeah, we're not going to win that war of ideas. And last is the conspiracy theory mentality, which is very penetrated into the Muslim and Arabic community, that the problems of our community, from economic to educational to religious, are blamed upon somebody else. It's the West's problem. It's a conspiracy with Israel and all this other nonsense that they want to blame everything on, and rather than take responsibility, and that has a lot of legs. I mean, to this day, Egyptian media broadcasts every year the protocols of the Elders of Zion in their national television. So this is what we're up against when we try to figure out why Muslims aren't enlisting in droves. It has nothing to do with fear. The Muslims I've found come from families like mine that are in the military, that my parents escaped persecution in Syria and came here because they knew that American freedoms were allowing us to practice our faith like no other so-called Muslim nation. And it was basically in my blood from my youth to want to serve in the military in whatever capacity I could. And there's a lot of Muslims like that, and no fear of discrimination would have left me out of doing that service.
Zudi, if people want to find out more about the American Islamic Forum for Democracy and how they can support your work, how can they do that?
Our website is AIFdemocracy.org, and they can go to the contact section or contribution section and help us out in our cause. Because, you know, I think in history you'll see that many faiths have gone through times when they needed help from others. And I think that currently the moderate anti-Islamist voices in Islam need all the help we can get. And we are based out of Phoenix, but we've got a number of members all over the country that help us in what we do. And this is a generational battle. I'm not going to be able to defeat the media conspiracy machinery of Middle Eastern oil monarchies in 1 year. But it's going to take generations, and it's going to take individuals that are American first and Muslim second, and that understand our faith as being a private issue of our worship to God personally. But we need help to do that.
I run into people all the time who say, Gary, what can I do in to help out the war effort? I just feel so helpless. There's nothing the average guy can do. Folks, if you're looking for something to do, here's a modest step. Go to AIFdemocracy.org. Here is a man whose family came to the United States, escaping persecution in Syria. He stands for American values. He put himself in the line to join the American military, and now he's willing to stand up against the radical forces that are trying to hijack his religion to serve their radical aims. The man's doing something courageous. You can support him, AIFdemocracy.org. Great to have you on. Stay tuned to World Radio WMET 1160. Bauer and Rose, we'll be right back.
Bauer and Rose, they're talking. You just have to listen. The Insider, Gary Bauer, the journalist, Tom Rose. Together, they're Bauer and Rose, only on WMET 1160.
Welcome back, everybody. Tom Rose, Gary Bauer with you. It's the Bauer and Rose Show for a Monday. Great conversation we just had. If you missed it, shame on you. With Zudi Jasser, a physician, 11-year veteran of the U.S. Navy, founder now of a moderate Muslim organization that's trying to combat the force and power of Big Islam. I love that. I'm just so proud of myself now. Big Islam.
Is that watch? Don't pull your shoulder out of the socket there, patting yourself on the back.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one because I just that's about the first meaningful thing I've come up with here in quite a long time. Jim in D.C., you're on the Bauer and Rose Show. Good morning.
Hi, Dr. Jasser pointed out something about CARE and some other Muslim groups on what their actual dues-paying membership is. And in Front Page Magazine, the author came up, looked at their exact figures and said that they have about 5,000 dues-paying members, CARE does, in 2004, which is about one out of maybe every 1,200 Muslims. And now we have CARE, according to a San Francisco newspaper article, they're still whining about the snub they got from Senator Boxer, rescinding an award from them, and they're demanding that she give them a fair trial. And we all know that CARE does support Hezbollah and Hamas, and they constantly spin out of the question when they're asked about their membership, especially Ghassan Alashi and Ismail Royer, who actually, if you look at their indictments, they committed their crimes while they were taking CARE paychecks. But the media keeps letting them spin out of it and say that they weren't committing crimes while they were working for CARE. And I don't know what we can do to combat this. It seems like there's complicit media acceptance of what CARE says. And since they have such a small membership, I just don't know what we can do to combat them, and especially to influence Senator Boxer to not cave into their pressure. Because they're a misogynistic group. They airbrushed head coverings onto female people in a photo opportunity, and they get away with so much. I can't take it.
Well, Jim, you sound about as upset as we are. I mean, here's an organization that's getting constant publicity. It's always in the news. It's holding press conference left and right. Media treats it as this powerhouse organization. Its membership ought to be in the hundreds of thousands by now, given the publicity that it gets. It's very telling that the membership figures are as low as they are. It's very telling that they're getting money and have gotten money in the past from all sorts of sources in the Middle East. A conservative-oriented organization with 500,000 members would get a greater degree of skepticism and examination by big media than groups like CARE do, who are just accepted as face value and are already being presented in the media as being a civil rights organization. It's an extraordinary thing. Tom and I, you know, rail about this all the time. I can certainly understand, Jim, why you're upset about it. Somebody needs to really take these people on.
Well, I agree. I just the really part that bothers me is that they keep bold-faced lying about their members, Ismail Royer and Ghassan Alashi, when any reporter worth their salt can look at their indictments and the things that they were pled guilty to and were found guilty of. Those crimes were all committed while these guys were taking CARE paychecks, appearing in forums with Nihad Awad, and representing themselves as CARE officials in interviews and on television and in newspapers. All these things they were doing while they were committing these crimes, and nobody calls them on it.
No, nobody calls them on it because, of course, big media has determined that an Islamic pressure group is only authentic when it lobbies governments to make concessions to terrorists. If Dr. Jasser's group, for instance, were to present itself to big media as an alternative to big Islam, that it was a moderate Muslim lobby, one that opposes suicide bombings, the response by big media, big government, and big Islam would be that these guys aren't authentically Muslim.
Well, Jim, we appreciate the call. Yeah, absolutely. Jim, we appreciate the call. Tom, you know, this there's so many facets of this. It's not only the elevation of groups like CARE to be spokesmen for all Muslims in the United States and to accept at face value CARE's agenda, which is a radical agenda. But, we've talked about how the rest of secular America is reacting to radical Islam. The willingness of newspapers, for example, to self-censor themselves and not reprint cartoons that were considered insulting by some Muslims, while not hesitating to print things about Jews and Christians and virtually anybody else in America, we're all fair game, who get things said about us in big media all the time without a second thought. I saw just a couple of days ago that YouTube, that regularly has things on it that are offensive to Christians, including a message or a site on YouTube over the last couple of weeks in which teenagers were encouraged to go on and reject Jesus, reject Christianity, embrace Satan, etc. This became a really hot video on YouTube where this teenager was attacking Christianity, getting all these hits on it, etc. Well, it ends up that a few days ago, Tom, some guy went onto YouTube, and all that he did, he was a regular visitor to YouTube, all that he did was sit there and read verses from the Quran. All the verses were accurate. He didn't editorialize about the verses. He just read them. And, of course, these were verses that talked about the need to kill the infidel, that it's okay to lie to the infidel if it suits your larger purposes, never become a friend with the infidel, look forward to the day where the people of the book, the Christian and Jew, will be killed, et cetera, et cetera. All he did was read it. YouTube pulled his video off and has banned him from putting any postings on YouTube.
That's amazing to me. And, of course, YouTube was just purchased by Google.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that might be a reflection of the fact that they've now have to behave, quote-unquote, responsibly. Google, of course, a publicly traded company, YouTube, it earned its reputation for being irreverent because it didn't have to bow to these kinds of politically correct gods. I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Well, I don't know. Of course, you can still be irreverent about Christianity. He just can't about Islam. No, I mean it's sad, you know. It's when government does this, it's called censorship. When we do it to ourselves, or when irony of ironies, it's the creative classes in America, in Hollywood, in big media, the gay rights community, etc., that are constantly bowing to political correctness on Islam, you really have to wonder, because, of course, these are the people that would suffer very quickly if radical Islam was ever in power. I keep going back to the demonstration that was in London a few weeks ago, where in the crowd there were people holding a big banner that said, and this was the statement on the banner, it is not my words, but the banner said, "Queers for a free Palestine." And of course, the question that leaps to mind is that did the homosexual activists carrying that banner have any idea what the status of homosexuals would be in a Palestinian state ruled by Islamic law? They execute homosexuals in Saudi Arabia. They execute homosexuals in Iran. And yet these people are so out to lunch that they're willing to march with a banner that makes the implication here that the bad guys are Israel, where, quite frankly, I believe there is a tolerance for homosexuality that goes way beyond what Israeli society ought to be doing for their own societal health. Well,
tell me about it. I mean, it's look, we are collectively running around in a panic, looking desperately for somebody to surrender to.
Absolutely. But, Tom, I always thought, you know, that impulse to surrender, which I believe was established first in France, that it had to have some limits, you know. The bizarre thing is that this impulse to surrender comes mostly from the cultural left, who would have the most to lose in a Sharia-governed world. That you can't even make this stuff up. I mean, it's an impulse, quite frankly, towards suicide that requires perhaps more of a psychiatrist than it does the gentle proddings of Bauer and Rose.
A battery of psychiatrists collected from America's finest institutions.
Yep. Well, if you're not going to do that voluntarily, then just keep listening to Bauer and Rose, because we'll clear your head up for you. Get the cobwebs out right here on World Radio WMET 1160.
Visit us on the web at bowerandrose.com. Gary and Tom will be right back after this.
Right back after this.